News Radio WJPF, Southern Illinois' number one for news, talk, and a conversation with Dr. Jeff Ripita. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
You know, when I asked Jeff to join us, I was thinking we're going to talk more about the effect of heat, and we are, but with this air quality alert, this is something people are unaccustomed to here in Southern Illinois. So what's your guidance here, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, we have the liberty of living in a mostly rural area, so air quality is not something that we have to think about a whole lot, thank God. But that's not going to be the case for the next couple of days. When we talk about air quality, basically what we're talking about is things that are sort of dissolved in the air that really aren't supposed to be there. And there's a ton of different chemicals that includes remnants of fires. You know, it's things that come out of the exhaust in our cars. It's things that come from factories. And again, usually there just aren't enough people in factories here in Southern Illinois to really make any grand difference in that. But, you know, the Canadian wildfires are dumping obscene amounts of stuff into the air that are finding their way down here. And plus, when the air gets hotter, it just holds more stuff. So you know how if you dissolve sugar in water, if you heat up the water, you can dissolve more sugar. So the air is kind of the same way. So if you heat up the air, it just holds more stuff, and that includes more pollution, more particles, more soot, more dirt, more mold, more just about everything is floating around out there. And once those levels reach a certain threshold, they can kind of start to bother us. Minor annoyances might be little things like headaches or that, you know, people that have sinus issues will feel that a little bit more, maybe a little worse runny nose than usual, and that's just an annoyance. But for people with lung issues, this can be a bigger deal. If you've got like COPD or asthma or severe allergies, it can actually trigger those things up. There's all sorts of this is a hot topic in medicine, I think, because over the past 10 or 15 years, we found that when air quality goes down, the number of hospitalizations for respiratory illnesses goes up. And again, thankfully, we live in an area where that's not really been a major issue or something we've had to pay a whole lot of attention to, because generally the air quality in Southern Illinois is really very good. But in urban areas, I mean, there's a definite trend. So, I mean, unfortunately, I do expect that probably people with major respiratory problems, especially COPD or asthma, will probably have some issues over the next couple of days. In terms of what you can do about it, I mean, stay inside in the air conditioning if that's an option. Most air conditioners are set up to filter at least some stuff out of the air. It's impossible to get everything, but it'll at least filter some things out. And I hate that that's a fact of life for the next couple of days, but it looks like that's the way it's going to be.
All right. So the government sets the line at 100 and above on their quotes. That's parts per million. Then there's a rating there. Most of Southern Illinois is at a 171 right now. 100 for people who have pre-existing conditions and up is concerned. Worst air in America, Chicago, they have a 250 on that same ranking. So you can get an idea how bad it is here in Southern Illinois. Now, the other question, and the reason why I asked you to join me in particular now is because we wanted to talk about it, you know, because as the heat comes, there are ways to help prepare. And it due to its cumulative nature, you don't want to not, you know, to not take precautions on the first day and then pay on the second.
Yeah, it's kind of a bad time to have to be outside in Southern Illinois over the next couple of days. You know, predicted highs over 100 the next couple of days, and then bad air quality on top of that. Heat illness is something of particular interest to me. I think early in my career, I worked kind of closely with a factory here in Southern Illinois, and it's not air conditioned. And they had several people go into kidney failure from heat stroke over the course of a couple of months.
Kidney failure? Is that from not hydrating, Jeff?
It was from getting heat stroke, and the factory just didn't have great protocols in place to recognize. They did everything that they could to rectify that. But basically, you can get kidney failure because you just don't have enough fluid in your body to get enough blood to the kidneys. They lose blood flow, and they sort of shut down a little bit. Now, all those people eventually recover, but a couple of them have some lengthy hospital stays. What people need to recognize about heat illness is that there's generally two types. There's heat exhaustion, which is less severe, and there's heat stroke, which is the more severe kind. In heat exhaustion, you might feel like you're just overheated, sweaty, maybe a little bit dizzy. If your body starts to give you those signals, it is telling you that you need to take a break. You need to get out of the heat, and you need to stop what you're doing.
All right, let's talk about that for a minute, Dr. Ripita. What are the symptoms, stroke and heat? I mean, where do we start there when recognizing you have a problem, self-diagnosing?
Yeah, so in that, for the heat exhaustion, which is the more mild form, you can come back from that. So if somebody has those kind of mild symptoms where it's just you feel overheated, maybe your heart's going fast, you're still sweating, you don't feel delirious, you don't have stomach cramps, you don't feel like you're going to pass out necessarily, but you definitely feel like you are overheated. That's a sign of heat exhaustion. That's your body's way of telling you, hey, I need a break. I need to cool down some. So if anybody's working in hot conditions and feels that is when it's time to go sit somewhere in the air conditioning, if possible, to at least sit under a shade tree or something and hydrate as much as possible with water, 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 water. If you don't do that, it can progress to the more severe form, which is heat stroke. In heat stroke, your blood actually becomes a little too concentrated, and you can like lose blood flow to kidneys, to muscles, to your stomach to some degree. So you get symptoms like stomach cramps, maybe throwing up, muscle cramps that can be pretty bad. In severe cases, you can start to get confused or like delirious. If that happens, it's time to go to the hospital and get some IV fluids. I would tell anybody who has to work, you know, outside or in the heat in this, if you have heat exhaustion, you can take a break for like an hour and hydrate. And if you feel okay, it's possible to come back from that and maybe even try to go back to work on that same day. But if it happens a second time in a day, you really need to be done for the day. Go home. And unless you feel perfect the next day, maybe even take the next day off. Everybody who I've ever seen who's developed heat stroke and wound up in hospital from it had signs before, typically, that they kind of ignored or thought they could push through, didn't want to miss a day of work, didn't want to disappoint their bosses, you know, what have you, and have to miss any time off. But you can't bargain with biology. You know, if your body is giving you these signals, it is trying to tell you that your body cannot keep going.
And here's the fact. Once you have it, it's harder to get rid of, but it's cumulative. You think, oh, no problem yesterday. It'll be okay tomorrow. You have to keep monitoring yourself because it changes as the longer you're in that situation. And we're looking at 2 days. Friday 101 and 102 on Friday, and with a heat index 112. Now, here's the curveball du jour. If you've got these issues with air quality and you're exerting yourself and it's 101, these two things amplify one another?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, part of having to regulate, or part of the way our body regulates heat is through breathing. You know, anybody who has a dog has seen their dog pant when it gets hot, and the dog will pant because it's basically trying to blow heat out of its body. We humans will do the same thing, but it's a little more subtle than a dog panting, so we'll breathe a little faster, maybe a little bit deeper to try to get rid of that heat. But if the air quality is not good, then you're kind of sucking in more bad air at the same time, which can cause its own set of problems there. So one problem can kind of feed the other.
All right. So what do people, what's your last minute advice? We've got about 30 seconds. Your advice, Dr. Jeff Repeter, for the...
Yeah, if you don't have to be outside the next couple of days and you're lucky enough to be able to sit in the air conditioning, please do so. If you can't do that and really have to be out in it, just if you start to feel bad, please don't try to plow through. That's a sign to take a break. If you can't get yourself hydrated and back on your feet within an hour, that's a sign you need to be done for the day. And if you get so severe that you're short of breath, stomach cramps, dizzy, like you're going to pass out, it is time to go to the ER.
All right. Now, a lot of my friends, especially my older friends, had rituals that they said helped preserve them in the brutal heat. One was drink two big cups of hot coffee in the morning. I never really believed in that one. Is there something you can do to prepare your body if you're going to be out working, you're going to be doing lawn care, that's your job, you've got to get out? What's your advice there? To prepare.
Yes. So caffeine is generally a bad idea just because caffeine is a stimulant. So it raises your heart rate a little bit. It raises your blood pressure a little bit, which makes your body temperature go up a little bit, which is exactly what we're trying to combat. So avoiding caffeine all the better. Really just as much water as you can stand. If you're really working out in it, maybe a sports drink every third or fourth drink. You shouldn't really drink like, I'm talking things like Powerade or Gatorade, something like that. You shouldn't really drink just that. It's a little too salty and a little too sugary. But every third or fourth drink maybe could be Powerade or Gatorade, but really just hydration as much as possible.
And don't wear black clothes.
loose, light-fitting clothes, and wear a hat, wear sunscreen.
Dr. Jeff Repeta, it's 7:31.